Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like, it's round 25 and we've saved the best for last. Welcome to the very first edition of the annual, I'm sure there'll be annual, of the Talkie Awards, the NRL Supercoach Report annual awards celebrating the best and worst of Supercoach and some of the coaches ourselves. Welcome, Lakey, for the last time for 2021. How are you?
It's award seasons, baby. I'm hyped up. How you doing?
Hyped up. Oh, mate, it's about all we have to be hyped up about, right? Like the actual landscape of things in terms of NRL and Supercoach, at least for my side in NRL, it's basically one more week of pain and then it's gone. And Supercoach, likewise, one more week of pain and haven't they saved, the best for last. TLT, what an absolute bin.
Yeah, mate, it's been one of those real fun ones today, hasn't it? We say, well, we knew it was going to be bad, but three of the top teams have just gone, nah, go F yourselves for 2021.
Certainly have. It's like we see it every year. It's just par for the course now. We need 17 trades by the time we get here. But nonetheless, we thought we wouldn't save all the doom and gloom. It's round 25. We all know what to expect. It's a shit time. No one can field a side. I've got 15 players, I think. What about you?
I've got 16 because Tane Milne was named in all the rabbits outs. He got a reprieve. So, yeah, that got me up to 16.
Your boy, Tane Milne. I recall an earlier pod this year where I said he'll come and bite you in the backside. But here we are, round 25.
That's right. He's
a very
me.
Valuable warm body.
That's exactly right.
MVP of my season this year, mate.
Mate, speaking of MVPs, my boy, Makahezi Makatoa. He finds himself in the starting prop jersey for Parramatta. I thought this bloke was just the dual nuff. And here we are. He is providing me crucial points.
Yeah, exactly. Formally right. Off the bench, so it was only 2 weeks ago you were complaining that he was getting named, and now you're ready to, you know, lick his feet.
That's the pod for the off-season. But, nonetheless, I'm ready to give him a great big shout-out. So, Makatoa, you absolute star. You're probably going to be 500K by the time 2022 rolls around, but I will bring you in. That's how much I love you. Appreciate the work. That's what we've got ahead tonight, Lakeys. As we said, a bit of a special edition. First time we've ever done this. So we're going to go through the best and worst. We ran off the categories last week. We've had a good hard think. We've gone to our panel of international experts, the Supercoaches Guild of whatever the Oscars people are. We've got an even better lineup. There's at least 700 mail-in votes that we have gone through.
Yep.
I mean, this is a pretty prestigious event. You don't get like fanfare music like that unless it's a serious red carpet occasion. You and I have got our best dress on as well. I've got my Cowboys tie over the top of my hoodie. What are you wearing?
Yeah, I've got a nice red bow tie over the top of my hoodie. It's really classing up the joint over here. I've opted for a Canadian Club and dry over my usual beer. Ooh. Just really upping the class for this prestigious night.
I've even got a glass out for my Great Northern original heavy, obviously. But, yeah, I've even got the glass out. Not quite a champagne flute or anything like that. We're not going too crazy. But, tonight I am dressed by Lowe's, one of the finest ensembles here, the hoodie, jean combo, and unmatching socks. But the Cowboys tie, I feel, really brings the eyes out. That is enough rubbish. We will go through the long list of awards. It's going to be a pretty funny one. We pay out Wenon quite a bit, spoiler alert. That should be pretty good fun. But I guess before we get into all that, the glitz and glamour of Supercoach talkies for 2021, let's go into the actual Supercoach news for round 25, but those that might actually still be playing. Kind kind of laid it up there that this wasn't a really ideal week for anyone wanting to fill a full side, unless you got two trades. You and I put together a little bit of a short list of some of the good. That goes for about 2 seconds. And then some of the bad. So, Lakey, do you want to be the bearer of bad news? What's happened with team lists for round 25? Who's in? Who's out?
Everybody is out. Just everybody.
Okay, let's move on to the talking.
Mate, you pick up your Supercoach side and point to anywhere on the screen and you're going to hit someone that's having a rest. The Storm are resting names like Cam Munster, Christian Welch, Josh Adokar. They're all getting a rest. The Eels, they're sitting Isaiah Papali'i, Nathan Brown, Dylan Brown, Clint Gutherson, who picked up a bit of an injury last week. Mitch Moses is also out. And the other big one is the Bunnies. They're resting everybody, mate. Anybody who's anybody in their side. Jai Arrow, Cam Murray, Alex Johnston, Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds, Damian Cook, Dane Gagai, as well as obviously Latrell Mitchell, who's on an extended holiday. So those are all the big ones. That I don't want to step on your toes, but we do have some guys who have made the cut, luckily enough. But even those who have, like you got Sam Walker who's playing off the bench and the likes of that. So it's a very tough week. You're lucky to field a 17 if you've got that, and if you've got trades, then good for you. But I still think anybody who's got 17 has really been kissed on the dick.
Yep, fair to put that technically, but Angus Crichton's back.
Yes.
That's one good one. One of the many, many second rowers I've had suspended throughout the year. He manages to find himself, courtesy of taking an early guilty plea. Thought he should afford it, but nonetheless, here he is, warm body. He's back, and Tommy Turbo is named.
He is. James Tedesco is named.
And that's my good for this weekend. Oh, there you go. Yep. Well, for now. You know what? For now.
For now. Because the Roosters play in game one. So we'll know about those outs first off the draw, tomorrow, Thursday afternoon, whatever it is. So we'll know if those guys are suiting up. But they're still pushing for a top four side, so I would be surprised if they rested everybody. But you never know. So we never know what's going to happen.
They can't rest anyone because they don't have enough players.
Well, that's true.
Joe Manu's dead.
Casualty ward.
They certainly are. It's been a rough old year for the Chooks. They're really limping towards the finals, but the fact they're still in the top four hunt is pretty incredible. But, it's one of those things. Could all, like, the interest in terms of ladder positions could all be over by the first couple of games in. So Raiders-Roosters, that's a pretty important game. You got Sharks in Storm as well. 6 p.m. Friday, I think.
Yes.
And Parramatta, they've rested everyone. Bunnies, they don't care. Obviously, the Cowboys are going to beat Manly, so we know that's a fait accompli. But, yeah, nothing really on Sunday. If the Titan season is still alive, that could make some interest in that one. But otherwise, you got Bulldogs and Tigers. That game could be I don't know what to expect here. If I was to – we'll talk a little bit about it before we get into the awards, but, if you were to target a game this week, and I know we're all looking at, say, the Bunnies have rested everyone, but they're playing the Dragons, so who from there do we even want? Who else? You got Storm, the rest of players. All those sort of matchup plays you could be looking at. How about a team like the Tigers against the Bulldogs? They will piss their fans off no end if they rack up an absolute score here. So does that mean David Nofaluma, come on down, El Capitano?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, if you're going to play Nofo at any stage, it's going to be against the Dogs, right? But, I mean, for me, I've sort of written this season off. I've got no trades left. I'm not any chance of making the top end. So it's just an early off season for me with the Tigers Dogs game. I'm not going to be watching that one too closely, I don't think.
I heard a little bit of a shuffle as I threw to you then, and I didn't realize that you'd actually told me off air that you've got a visitor.
I do.
Keeps popping into the room. You've got a helper for tonight's award ceremony. He's going to give you the envelopes, the Supercoach talkie envelopes. But your little boy's there. He may give us some color commentary.
Taylor, say hi. Say hi to everyone. There he is.
Mate, you need to get this boy involved in Supercoach next year. Beginner's luck. We've had a few on the pod so far this year. Alex Christie, shout out back in the early days. I think he's fallen right away. Hashtag podcast curse. But at the time, I think it was his first year and he was absolutely killing it. So if your boys, they're going to their first game.
They are. From what I understand, the Broncos play the Knights up here at 3 o'clock. On Saturday afternoon, so I'm taking the boys out to get their first taste of disappointment in blue and red. And no, they're very excited and we're very excited. It's just worked out very well. It's a nice early game and we can get them out there and not be worried about, you know, bedtimes or whatever like that. So should be a really good one. I'm looking forward to it.
I look forward to you telling me you left early to beat the traffic, inverted commas. But yeah, I'd love for you guys to beat the Broncos. Would love to finish ahead of them. So please do your job, despite your position in the top eight, somehow being wrapped up. That is a remarkable feat. So well done to you guys. But yeah, I would love to see your children. You've got 500 of them. So I'm sure you give them enough, basically like monkeys and typewriters, right? You give them enough Supercoach apps, they're bound to pick a good side.
Yeah, isn't there that how past winners have run out with it? Or is that too much of a hot take?
That is a very spicy take for round 25. For those still listening in, the diehards, love your work. So thank you, Lakey. All right, that's round 25. That's the ins and outs. Those who still have trades, you're a very weird bunch. I don't know how you've done it, but congratulations. You are here. You are going to kill it this round while we are all struggling. If you had two trades this week, Lakey, who would you be targeting?
You've got to go for the Penrith boys. They've named a full-strength side as they come up against someone not so lucky, and I'm blanking on who they're playing.
That Parramatta Eels.
That Parramatta side, yep, that's
right.
The
Moses-less Eels.
Yeah, so they've been on the down, on the slide recently. I mean, they beat Melbourne last week. I don't think anyone saw that coming. I certainly didn't.
Oh, mate, you beat the Cowboys. You are in red-hot form.
Yeah, exactly.
Because not just anyone beats us 10 weeks in a row, right?
So is it your
definitely,
fault?
Definitely not 11.
We can blame you guys for playing them back into some sort of form.
And you're welcome.
And they're Milgate such enter. In good stead that they've decided to rest their entire starting squad. So you've really given them a jolt towards the finals.
How's the confidence there against the Penrith Panthers, yeah, who are pretty sloppy, despite somehow Mr. Unicorn himself, Nathan Cleary, getting 100 points. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happened, but whatever. He dropped the ball 700 times. But regardless, yep, this could be an absolute bloodbath. I got rid of Brian To'o, for example, a while ago. Here he is.
Yeah, he's
miracle
back.
Recovery, whatever. Yep, he was killing it last week. Nathan Cleary, pick your fucking poison. You got Viliami Kikau out there, 120 last week. Charlie Staines just needs a little rebirth. What a heroic tale that would be if he made his way back in. I don't think he has, but
he might even hit double digits this week.
Oh, this could be. He features quite heavily in some of our award categories for later on. But yeah, there you go. I think if I was to throw a dart this week, I would be targeting one of those Sunday games that I talked about. I like daytime footy, and I like when teams just have absolutely nothing to play for, because all they can think about is getting shit-faced on Mad Monday. Mm-hmm. And they literally have just 80 minutes of crap football to play before they can get there. So this could be the Titans. This could be this will be the Warriors. This will be the Bulldogs. This will be
three of the four teams playing on the Sunday are already eliminated. And by the time the games roll around, the Titans might be as well. But yeah, so it should be fairly interesting to see them just go out there, ignore the coach's wishes, and throw the ball around, have some fun.
Love it. I reckon guys like Corey Thompson, Brian Kelly, is he playing? Tyron Peachy in the halves. Like, he could do some good things out there for the Warriors. Reece Walsh, it's just going to be one of those absolute touch footy style games. And then Tigers and Bulldogs, it's either going to be 40-38 or 6-4. I don't know what it's going to be, but I can't wait to watch it. It's the final game. What a way to cap it off. The icing on the cake that was the 2021 NRL season cannot end quickly enough. So there you go. I'd target Corey Thompson. He's my buy the round. How about it?
There you go. I love it. If on the same vein of same thought line, I guess. Brian
don't
Kelly.
Say Anthony Milford, mate.
No, because, Brian Kelly.
I was going to say, don't say Anthony Milford. Gave you Anthony Milford last week and you didn't pick him. And
no,
here you are.
No, as I said, I was, I've sort of tuned out for the year. I've absolutely forgot to pull the trigger on that one. So that's on me. But he had another decent game. Just up and
down. Decent, mate. He's got two 90s in a row.
It's decent.
Anthony Milford, why not
give I'm absolutely refusing to give him any sort of positive raps. So decent is as far as I'll go.
There you go. Well, heartbreaking in a way, because he's showing Wilfred and all the other previous Milford owners exactly what he could do.
He's just locking himself into their teams for 2022.
When he's mate, can you imagine?
Running out in the green and myrtle.
Well, who was going to take over from Adam Reynolds in Cardinal and Myrtle next season? Because you've got Cody Walker, obviously, in the halves. Who are they going to stick in? Surely. Benji can't. He's got to retire. Anthony Milford. Can you imagine?
It's a strange one, though, because they're both running halves. They're both very off-the-cuff type players, where I think why the Rabbits work so well is they've got that Cody Walker explosive guy and they've got Adam Reynolds, who's very controlling half. It was like when your boy JT and Cooper Cronk were steering Queensland around. They had that, you know, both sides of the coin covered. So it'll be interesting to see how they go with very explosive boom-bust type halves on either side of the field.
Yeah, I've no idea what to make of the Rabbitohs for next year. We have a little category coming up in the awards where we talk about some of the guys who are stamping their claim on a spot in your round one side for next season. But for the Bunnies, I really don't know what to expect with Waino back out of the helm. So who knows? Could be good, interesting round one picks. I reckon, okay, I'm going to change it all. Anthony Milford by the round. He's playing you guys. He's going to break your heart because you didn't pick him up.
Yep.
You could have come, instead of coming the 12,000th or whatever that you currently are, you could have come 11,000th.
Yeah,
I hope that eats away at you for the entire offseason. Never not listen to me again when I try to ruin your side.
Yeah.
Any final words on round 25 before we get into the real deal of the round 25 SC report?
No. Let's get at it.
Captain.
Captain.
Is there any other one?
I mean, you can't go past Turbo. The man's been in sensational form. But I'm probably just going to throw it on Kalen Ponga just for the love of it, to be honest with you.
Well, mate, we do have fond memories of being there captaining Kalen Ponga in the daytime
at
Suncorp Stadium. So there you go. Throwback. What's the worst that could happen? So there you go. For a laugh, I might stick it on Makahazy. Can you imagine?
Yes, Makatoa. Do it. You've thought he's going to get 5 tries, so you may as well captain him.
I can only imagine how good. All right, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, Lakey, get your ties out, get the suits polished, get the hoodie nice and sharp and ironed, because we're going to get into the first ever annual SC Report Talkie Awards.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, before we went on here, you found a audio clip that was basically half an hour long.
Just an award ceremony music.
Yep. Can you imagine how many listeners we would have at the end of this pod if we put that on? So without further ado, no, we'll not do that.
No.
Lakey, you and I here, we normally just throw, this is a throwaway pod, right? We've talked about how rubbish round 25 is, but instead put our collective heads together as the 700 international confidants of the SC report. We've gone to the people to come up with some of the awards and the award nominees and the award winners. It has been a pretty hotly contested field for a lot of these categories in the last week. There's been debates left, right, and center. Punch-ups. There was some punch-ups. There were a lot of angry...
There was a bit of fiery boys out there last weekend.
No one wants to be named the worst SC report contributor, SC Talk contributor of the year, but unfortunately it has to go to someone. No real surprise who it will be, but we'll save that for towards the end. So we're going to start, Lakey, with some of the actual football or super coach categories. Before we start making fun of the coaches, the first award category of the year, the Pahlavi Award. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
John Pahlavi.
We're going back a few years now, but yeah, absolutely toasted. What, half the competition to start the year?
Certainly, it was a not an ideal start. John Pahlavi, he was in and out in no uncertain terms. Round one, absolute trap. We've named the award after him because his legacy will live on forever and ever. The Pahlavi Award for the biggest supercoach trap of the year. 3 nominees for this one. First one, Charlie Staines. Goes without saying, he was in, I think, over half the competition sides at the start of the year. Yep.
Heaps. He scores tries for fun. He's the fastest man in the world. He's on the dangerous back line. Josh Mansour is killing everybody. You've got to have Charlie Staines. He's nice and cheap. It was just the go-to. And so he was in everybody. He was in my side. You know, I rolled him out the first 4 or 5 weeks.
I think he scored a grand total price rise of about 20K in probably 3 months. So, Charlie Staines, you ruined more than your fair share of Supercoach sides. You are our first nominee. Second, pretty similar vein here, Jason Saab, round one. I think possibly a worse start than Charlie Staines. He was dropping balls left, right, and center. He could not get anything going. Everyone got rid of him. Then he suddenly came good. Tommy Turbo came back, started gifting him points, and now he's a pretty well. He's a more regular fixture in some of the higher scores that Manly put up, Supercoach wise. But Jason Saab at the start of the year did absolutely nothing. Right. And finally, mate, this is a late season one here, but Bradman Best. This was a guy we all talked about as being not a must have, but a great shout in the run home. He scored a ton against the Titans, I think, at Suncorp. Had everything going right, and then has proceeded to do absolutely nothing. Anything to say for your boy?
I'll wear this one. I was telling everybody all in Sunder about how good he was going to be once he returned, and the Knights were getting back to full strength and blah, 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 blah. And he came back and he scored a 107 against the Raiders. That's the game you're thinking of. Followed that up with a 27 against the Broncos and a trip to the hospital, and has scored 72, 49, 26 since. So I jumped on board. Hopefully you went against my advice on this one,
not,
but it's just certainly trapped me, got me.
You are clearly an unbiased contributor, mate. You'd never shout out a Knights player who ended up doing terribly. All right, three nominees: Charlie Staines, Jason Saab, and Bradman Best, and the winner, Charlie Staines.
Four. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, your child has suddenly grown up.
Thank you. Yeah.
A hell of a lot in the space of 5 minutes. The audience has gone wild. They absolutely appreciate that one. I think you cannot go any further than Charlie Staines. The fact he had that many owners, and he's one of those players at the start of the season, you would put him on your bench and he would somehow score 80. Put him back in, he would score 10 points, 15, 20, and do nothing.
Rattle it off. Round one against the Cowboys, 18 points. Round two against the Bulldogs, 10 points. These are 80-minute games, mind you. Then round three against the Storm. Nah, he's not going to score well. Let's sit him. 56 points. Round four against Manly, 39 points. Round five, 85 on the Raiders. And then 15, 25, 19 were his next three. He was just woeful.
You know, he's still owned by 22,000 sides, 16%. They, I guarantee you, are all dead teams, zombie teams. They have given up. Charlie Staines, the Pahlavi of 2021. Congratulations, my child. Never again will you go for the whole the guy that scores a billion points. What did he score? 5 tries?
Yeah. And he scored probably all of them against the Sharks. Unless he's playing the Sharks for 5 straight weeks, I will not be going near the man.
No, not at all. All right, next category. All right, thank you, Charlie. You may go and never be in our sides ever again. This second award, mate, got to love it. You actually christened this one yourself. I will give you credit for this one. It's the Hopewadi Award for the Trade Fail of the Year. So the Hopewadi, or the My Finger Slipped, the Trade Fail of the Year. So this is, I've gone through the archives of my weekly roundup. Great read, shout out.
Yep.
SC, NRLCtalk.com.
Every Monday afternoon.
There you go, very late. Yep. Absolutely. Writes it for itself. But I've gone through the annals and looked at some of the trade fails of the week that I put together. There are a lot of weird trades that go on throughout the season. I don't know what happens. You get people trading in guys that aren't even playing, guys that are like injured for 8 or more weeks, and they're trading out guys like Nathan Cleary, Tommy Turbo at their prime. It's weird. Environment out there. I don't know if people are getting hacked. I don't know if they're doing it just to make the article. That would be a bit of, SC Talk inception. But there you go. I've shortlisted three here for the trade fail of the year. Some bloke traded in Kobe Hetherington in round 20 for Cody Walker.
Ooh.
So Kobe Hetherington of Broncos fame, I think he's a dual hooker, maybe 5'8". And he does some stuff out there. You know, he scores a good 20, 30 every now and again. And that Cody Walker, you're absolutely rubbish. Second nominee, someone traded out Sam Williams for an injured Jerome Luai in round 17. Fair, maybe he's playing the long game, whatever. Sam Williams goes on to score a ton that week. So not only you've traded in the guy who's not even playing, but Sam Williams. This is that game, that sloppy game against Manly, I think it was.
Yep.
Absolutely carved up. So that is a literal 100-point turnaround for that poor champion. And finally, Nathan Cleary was traded out for Troy Dargan, one person's trade, and also Brock Lamb, another person's, in round 10. This is when Nathan Cleary was absolutely head and shoulders above the pack.
Were they trying to play the Origin series coming up? That's just insane.
No idea.
Was that leading into round 10 as well, or just after?
Yes.
So
yes,
leading into round 10, magic round, when he dropped a 225.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Okay. Yep. So Troy Dargan, I don't think, was playing, and Brock Lamb, I'm pretty sure, was on a farm somewhere. Mm. And the winner, someone trading out Sam Walker for Jerome Luai. Just the fact it's so, like, maybe it made sense at the time, but the fact it blew up so just convincingly in this guy's face. Because Jerome Luai, apart from last week, I think, has been a bit of a terrible bite.
Yeah, he's fallen flat. He's fallen well flat. Yeah. And he had the bye in round 17, so there was no chance he was playing, even if he wasn't injured.
No, and I can kind of excuse the Nathan Cleary thing, because maybe someone's like, oh, I'll cash in on the million or whatever he was at the time. And Troy Dargan, he's not going to play. Brock Lamb, he's definitely not going to play. So, you know, I'll get enough nice and early on bye.
I can see someone trying to be too smart for their own good and trying to get cash leading into the bye period and strengthen their side as a whole. Still an awful trade, but the immediate pain of Sam Williams.
What are the odds too?
Yeah, of Sam Williams.
So, yeah, there you go. Never trade in an injured player. Make sure they're not in the casualty ward. Alrighty, next award. You know what? The crowd was deadly silent for that last winner.
They didn't agree with us.
Bazza, are you still out there, buddy? There he is. Sorry, mate, you're a little bit behind, but I'll make sure to cue you in.
He's gone to the bar. Stump. That was what I was.
Was at the bar. Great Northern's half price for the next 10 minutes. All right, the Welfare Check Award. We're going to get into one of the coaching awards of the season. This is the coach who fell asleep at the wheel. So this is a SC Report flavoured one here. So we've got a couple of nominees, three nominations in total. Two of them are for Wenham. The first one, Wenham forgetting to look at the people's team. You remember that NRL Supercoach Talk people's team that he started with?
I do.
Yep.
It was featured in every article. He was pumping it for the first, 2 months of the season?
He did. I'm pretty sure he spent about half our yearly salaries on the software that does all the polls and all that. Mm-hmm. So definitely put a lot of time and effort into it and then proceeded to just completely forget about it. Turned it back on with about, 2 months to go, realized that he had a billion trades and could actually make a dent in this thing.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he's then also, I think, fallen asleep at the wheel again. So the double fall asleep, because I haven't heard anything about the people's team in the last 3 weeks. So yeah. There you go. I don't know how it is. Surely it's gone better than
I'm
us.
I'm pretty sure. We talk about nobody having trades. I'm pretty sure the people's team has about 10 left.
Yep. Surely. What a time to use all 10 in round 25. Make it happen, Sangster. The second award nominee for the Welfare Check Award goes to Wenham again. Congratulations, Wenham, for getting – this is a good one. So he gets on the beers midway through the season, misses out on lockout before a Bunnies game when he planned to trade in Alex Johnson and Cody Walker. Mm. The week they then proceeded to score about, I think, a billion points potentially between the two of them. Yep. It was a bit of a carve-up. Ends up trading in Dallin Watene-Zalesniak out of desperation because it's the Sunday game I think the Dogs are playing. DWZ then proceeds to get traded to the Warriors, doesn't play that week, doesn't play for the next 3 weeks, doesn't do much after that. And he brings in CHN, Harawira Naira. I'm pretty sure not long after that, he basically just got himself suspended
for
the season. So, yeah, Wenham doing great things. Never get on the beers before a big trade week like that, because I'm pretty sure that's cost him, I don't know how many points, I'm going to say 304, because I've done the maths. And finally, third nominee here, Joe Fitz. Alumni of the SC Talk site.
Currently defecting over to Champs Podcast, but we won't hold that against him.
Despite not winning anything, it's a brave call by Wilf and Guy on there. I know Guy's got a lot going on, but getting Joe Fitz on.
Maybe they just needed someone to actually champ every week, so that's where he fits in.
Love it. I'd love your story about Joe Fitz, but I will read the nomination out. It's Joe Fitz getting on the beers on a Saturday, deciding he needed to trade early. So he's done sort of the reverse when in here. He saw the storm coming and he said, no, I need to do my bidding nice and early, lay the groundwork, the bit of foreplay, bit of trade foreplay. Besides, he wants to trade early, locked in our boy, Bradman Best. Uh-huh. On Friday night, you guys are playing a Saturday, if I recall correctly. Immediately ruled out on Saturday morning, post-trade. Can't reverse, unlucky champ.
And it's kind of like parking the next 5 weeks.
That has got to hurt. Some mysterious injury that turned out to be quite serious. But Joe Fitz, getting in early to do his trades. It's not quite falling asleep at the wheel, but it's kind of like moving your car inside to protect it from a thunderstorm, bit of hail, and having the roof collapse on it anyway. It was a really hilarious and brutal decision by Joe Fitz. Tries, all the best intentions. Anyway, there can be only one winner, and that is Wennen.
Had to be.
Wennen for getting on the beers. Wennen for getting on the beers and not bringing in AJ and Cody. Just the fact we had to hear about this for weeks and weeks on end.
Weeks.
Was absolutely hilarious. The fact it was DWZ, the fact it all just blew up in his face, the fact it was the Bunnies, Cody Walker, AJ, they just shitting points left, right, and center.
Cody sent Alex Johnson across the line, we'd get a ding from the phone, and that'd be Wennen blowing up about something.
There he is.
Thanks, buddy.
There he is. He's getting closer and closer to the actual announcing. But there you go. Thank you very much, Baz. I appreciate that support. Huge Wennen fan, he tells me, off air. But Wennen, you had two bites at the cherry there. You've gotten this one. But you had a funny story. I don't know if we ever shared this one on the pod. You have a funny story about Magic Round and Joe Fitz. We talk about him being surplus to champions' requirements.
Yep, that's right.
What happened at Magic Round?
The old mate loves to give me a bit of stick, but we were sitting up there in the stands. It was the four of us, myself, Stilesy, Catfish, and Joe, and had a bloke come up to meet the fish. And
did he sound like this?
I think it might have been the same guy, but yeah, he came up and he said he was a big fan of the podcast and all that. And Fish turned around and said, "Oh, well, this is Joe Fitz." And the guy said, "Oh, cool. Hey, can you take our photo?" And just got Joe to stand there and take a photo of him and Fish. It was absolutely beautiful. It made my week. Like I captained Nathan Cleary that day and we sat there and watched it. And that was still the best part of my weekend.
The absolute superstar, the fame magnet, the chick magnet, the attention magnet is Wilfred Zeke. You know, actually on Magic Round, speaking of, he had a lot of fans out that weekend. It was immense. But we were waiting in line for a beer at Newstead Brewing near Suncorp, and I'm in the line there, and I think in the space of 5 seconds of arriving there, somebody comes up and he says, "Wilfred, I'm your biggest fan. Like, thank you so much for everything you do." I'm like, "Wilf, do you pay these people to come out? Like, it seems awfully convenient. Everywhere we go with you, there's a photo op.
It's the same guy who keeps meeting us everywhere.
It could be Barry. I did put a face to the name, but there you go. Nonetheless, the Welfare Check Award, coach who fell asleep at the wheel, Wennen Rome, you've had a shocker, mate. We do love a good laugh, so thank you for providing that. Next award. This is a good one. That has to be a typo. The award for the worst player in the game in 2021. Harsh, obviously. Anyone who steps onto the field, rugby league field in the NRL, is obviously doing better than you and I, sinking beers on a Tuesday night, making fun of them through a fantasy football lens, but nonetheless.
Just to clarify, not the worst player in the game, the worst single game performance from a player. It was, there's been plenty of bad guys across the entire season, but there's been a few who have absolutely stood out on a one-week wonder, and it would be remiss of us not to mention them here tonight.
Go through them, mate. Your time to shine.
Number one, Herman Sasa, ex-Knights player. He's gone up there to the Gold Coast. He made an absolute mare of it. Didn't play until round 8. And then in his third and final game for the season, he's come out on the field for 8 minutes and got sent off. So ended up on negative 11 points. magic round. So he took off, can't remember who he hit now, but yeah, it was the start of the crackdown.
It was absolutely the not the play in this stage of the game. Weren't the Titans behind like 30 points against the Rampage?
And so he just came on, get out, see you, mate, end of season for Herman SASA. Number two, Roosters fans will love this one. Dan Fifita, -9 points, played 5 minutes. He got two tackles, a hit up, a penalty, an error, and sin bin back in round 16. So playing against the Melbourne Storm. Last we've seen of him as well, unless he's been recalled for this week. I can't recall the team list, but
don't think so. It's actually a funny one because he was actually brought in that week. I should find the actual numbers, but I do recall seeing people bringing this guy in because I think he was on the bubble. I'm pretty sure he had a negative break even. He'd scored okay coming off the bench. So he was a cheapie, maybe dual, whatever. And then he comes out and gets -9.
And say, onside. Playing the following week, the bye week against the Dogs, and then had a pretty decent run. So in theory, it was a decent play, but geez, it kicked everyone in the beanbags on that one. And finally, Supercoach Talk favorite, Charlie Staines, for his 80-minute performance, 1 point game in round 20. Again, against the Storm. It's been a bit of a recurring thing. The Storm have been killing people. But yeah, Charlie Staines for 80 minutes and he scored 1 point. Didn't end his season. He managed to come back out next week against the Roosters and score 16, but that's been the last we've seen of him. So 1 point in 80 minutes. That's a special kind of special.
Absolutely, man. Like, you'd like to think you or I standing out on that edge there could do a little bit more than 1 point. But yeah. Nonetheless, he got off the duck, and that's always something, right?
But
and
I think.
You can
No, I was going to say, I think even he got upgraded to 1 point post, post-game even. But
oh,
yeah,
the unicorns.
The winner, and etched his name into the record books, Daniel Fifita, for his five-minute spell of madness. -9 points. Congratulations, big fella.
Oh, Baz, a huge fan of
I think
that
he's got
one,
money on all the on all these. He's cleaning up.
Just the fact it ended his season. He did 5 minutes. He did a run. He did a tackles.
But a penalty, tackles. One penalty, one error, or sin bin. In 5 minutes. That's incredible.
And I think the fact Noah was buying Herman SASA, but people were legitimately buying Daniel Fifita, one of the 17 Fifita brothers in the comp. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. Worst scoring effort of the season. All righty, next category, Lakey, all yours once again.
Shout out to our boy Nick Kirkup. This is the player who's worth a good hard look, someone on the rise, maybe your most improved player for those who are got all the participation awards when you were growing up. So these guys are just coming through. We're not going for the Sam Walkers, the Reece Walshes. Everyone knows they're amazing. So we're looking at this next level, some guys that we could take into next season potentially, but there's a fair few who have made our list. Number one, and he's had a really big end of the season, is Josh Curran. He's filled in admirably. It was in plenty of teams around that Magic weekend and the buys, but I think he hurt himself in that Magic round game.
Did he miss the buy round? Yeah, he missed round 17. Everyone traded him out.
That's right. So he ended up getting traded out, but he's come back with vigor and has a 5-round average of 85 at the moment. And considering Tohu is out long-term, Josh Curran looks to have locked down his spot there on the other side of the field, admittedly, but he looks to have made it his own.
And how about him falling over after the game the other week, collapsing basically into the hand sanitizer? One of the all-time great scenes. Good.
Brilliant. If you haven't seen it, get out and look. He absolutely got tackled by the hand sanitizer machine. Number two for me is Stefano Udo-Ikamanu. And I think I butchered that this one. But since the bye, he's come out, and he was a slow progress as front rowers are, but since the bye, he's come out with scores of 91, 47, 62, 55, 82, 50, and 83. So he's absolutely smashing the back end, no pun intended. And just he's been
– What pun?
He's smashing the back end. So, yeah, he's killing it, and – He's
been the one tiger shining light. Like I said, I've lost Dewey, who was the only other guy you'd realistically want to have. But Udo Ikemanu has been massive. I'll throw to you for this one. I want you to give him a bit of a rap. Your boy, Hiram Lukey.
It had been 38 minutes and 33 seconds, and I hadn't played that yet, so I had to get running.
Absolutely wonderful.
Hasn't it? Oh, that means I'm going to play it so much more in the run home. But Hiram Lukey, as you said, hasn't he come from the clouds this season? I had in the Mega Guide, spoilers for the last couple of ones, categories that we got here, the Mega Guide, just shouted him out as having a fantastic name, and he does, Hiram Lukey. But now he's a fantastic second rower, a starting second rower in the Cows. I think he was off the bench last week, to be honest.
But I think he's been named there again this week, now that you've jinxed him.
There you go, just biding his time. The Dave Fafita, you know, they come off the bench now. They don't need to start. They get the juice out of the game. But Hiram Lukey has absolutely flown in with the scores of 52, 59, and 79 over the past 3 weeks. He scored a try against you guys when we beat you. Imagine losing to the Cows in 2021. How embarrassing. But Hiram Lukey, I mean, you've got four other nominees. I'll let you get into them, but I'm pretty sure, because I control the sound, but we know who's winning.
Yeah, I'll go through them really quick. These are guys that could carry you on into next year. We've got Jaden Campbell, who's killing it at the back for the Titans, and he's putting up some big scores against some really strong opposition. Toriel Sloan at the Dragons. He's doing similar. He's playing fullback. Dufty's not there next year, so he'll be one to watch going into next season. Will Penasini, he's only played 3 games for the Eels, all in the centres, but Fergo, I think, is moving on. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but I know he's been looking, and Sivo's knee is out, so Penasini could move into a more regular starting spot. And young Aaron Booth from Melbourne just signed with Gold Coast next season, so there's a good chance that he comes in as a very cheaply priced starting hooker in that side. But who have we got, JT? Who takes the good hard look for next year?
No, I'm letting you. You know who I'm going to pick, mate. I'll just dig into the envelope barrel for the 700 international confidant responses that we have got, and I'll let you pick this one. I'll remain unbiased. And the winner of the Worth a Good Hard Look, get him in your side for 2022, is...
Hiram Lukey, we'll go with him. Say he has come on really strong at the back end of this year.
Oh, it's a double. Geez, Cletus. Just a double. I didn't notice Cletus is there, buddy. How you going?
He's Bundy's up on the dang
back
roof.
Champion. There you go. Hiram Lukey.
As strong as Josh Curran has been, he's going to come into next season very highly priced. So Hiram Lukey could be a cut price option for your starting second row.
This one I thought would be a fantastic award, mate, but it's turned out to be the hardest.
It has.
And, I'm not quite sure why. Normally, this is just number one talking point in Supercoach. The award we had, we've basically gone with 0 nominees. The Must Be in Sangster's Side Award for the dodgiest scoring decision of the year. Now, normally, we get Wilfred whinging about, who was it last
Harry Grant.
Season? Harry Grant and his missing force dropout. Yep. Mysterious case of the missing force dropout. You got... I don't know. Used to have JT, used to have Cam Smith.
Cam Smith used to get 30 or 40 points in updates post game, and everyone would be gone. What the hell did he do to earn those? But yeah, there hasn't been too much of it this year. We get the usual, oh, that should be a try assist. That's a try contribution argument, but nothing overly stand out that was just completely controversial.
All right, so the winner of the Sangster Must Have Him in Their Side Competition Award for the year. Nobody. Congratulations to NRL Supercoach.
Yeah, you've done well.
Or whoever it is, the Phantom. What are they called? They've got a funny name.
Yeah.
The Flares. I don't know who they are. But those Fox Sports guys that do the stats, congratulations, boys. You're just given fullbacks points all year, mm-hmm. Nathan Cleary. So you know what? They're highly owned. Who cares? It's the pods you got to worry about. So well done to Supercoach not letting us whinge in scoring terms for 2021. Keep it up for next year. Right, there are about 5 of us that still write for the site, and this award is split between the 5 of us in terms of nominations. It's the Stephen Carney Award for the worst SC Talk coach of the year. So the worst performance by an SC Report contributor. You know, we all proclaim to be experts, do we not? We should know what we're talking about.
In theory, yes. We do talk a lot.
Yeah, and we've played this game for how, like, it's incredible. Wow. We've played it over a decade. 6 years for me. Yep. And, yeah, still haven't won yet. So, you know, I'm not sure why we even bother.
I'm absolutely due next year.
Mate, yeah. We're all due. We're all due, mate. Mate, all five of us, top five. I can't wait for it. But the Stephen Carney Award can only go to one coach. And, I mean, we've really scraped the bottom of the barrel for this. It did not take a lot. And I know he's not here to defend himself. He's quite busy. Old Carrot Top himself, when in Rome. I won't even give you a drum roll. Barry, yep, you're a big fan. Cletus, what do you think? Yep, there you go. You absolute champion.
Winning. Short odds a lot to claim that one, Bazza, so you won't be winning much on that ticket.
No, but you know what? How many points ahead of him are you 100. Right now?
I'm just 100 in the overall ranks. Say, not even the rankings, just 100 points. So he's a chance of catching me, but I'm confident.
Do you give him the...
I'll deliver it tonight. I'll drive it over.
Got to win something, mate. The coveted Stephen Carney Award can't just go to any old. I mean, if you're at the bottom, you're at the bottom. You need to win the Carney Award. So we've gone off early, as you and I love to do. But Wenon, you are the champ, the worst SC Talk coach of the year. So congratulations, buddy. Lakey, tell me about the Mega Guide, because our last two categories of the talkies are around the Mega Guide. What is it and what can we expect in 2022?
The Mega Guide will be back in 2022. So this year, the five of us, Stasi, Fish, me and yourself, we got together and put our expert minds to work in the off-season. Produced 140 pages of analysis on every player in the Supercoach game as it drops at the start of the year. So anybody who's in the system gets an analysis. We look over the teams as a whole, their strengths, their weaknesses, their schedules, and all the individual players, ranking them from an A to the best must-haves down to E's, as in completely avoids. You don't want anything to do with them. So it's an invaluable resource for anybody playing the game, if we do say so ourselves, but just heaps of information, heaps of data, and plenty of laughs in there. Well worth it. I think it's only $11 that we were charging last year, but say for 140 pages of just non-stop analysis, then I was buying it before I was invited to write in it, so it's an absolutely invaluable resource.
It certainly is, because there's so much news that comes at your left, right, and center in the off season. How players are going in trials, what the expected teams are, all that sort of stuff. How are they even going to go Supercoach wise? Sometimes just because you're named in the starting lineup, say Jaden Sewer, Liam Knight, they come to mind. Who those guys? Oh, mate, I didn't even listen to her own Mega Guide advice and I got him in. But, yeah, it's one of those things when you're trying to squeeze together a side, and next year it's going to be even harder with the likes of Turbo and Cleary being so highly priced to kickstart the year. It's, hopefully they increase the salary cap by a fair way, because we may need it. But it's one of those things. I did have a lot of good fun putting it together. It gets you back into the mood as well. It's a long off season, and as soon as we start putting pen or typing to paper – really gets the juices flowing. So I can't wait to do it again. 2022, it's going to be back bigger and better than ever. We will put our collective minds together. I think even Wenon wants to contribute. He loved it that much in 2021. Nonetheless, we've decided to name two of the final Talkie Award categories after how we went in the Mega Guide. Firstly, we'll give a shout out the Nostradamus Award for the best Mega Guide call of the year, and then the Great Call Champ Award for the worst Mega Guide call of the year. That one is slightly more hotly contested.
Yeah, we all had a fair few, didn't we?
Hindsight's
a wonderful thing. You could make the argument for any of these either way. But with 24 rounds of hindsight available to us, we've pulled out the best and the worst calls from the document. And we're going to lay them out, all of our true colours right here.
Look, we won't name names, so we 100% will, but you've put together some of the best and, well, I see two greens for the best and then about 78 reds, meaning we didn't do too well here. So for each side, let's see. I'll shout out myself here. So I wrote the Panthers, Rabbitohs, Cowboys, and I can't remember the other side. Maybe it was the Dragons. Obviously, in there, we have our favourites, mm-hmm. and I will shout out. He didn't make the cut here for the award, but Michael Morgan, a B. You know, until he did his shoulder, which anyone could have seen coming, he was ready to go. I reckon this is going to be a Cody Walker-like season.
Oh, really?
So, bit rude to say that my call of a B was a dud call, but I guess I'll own it.
It's your next one that got me. The next one's the best.
Moose. Yep. Josh McGuire, a B? What was I doing?
I don't know. You're on the source.
You know, it must have been because I'm pretty sure he had all this talk about him in the offseason. He was a dual price player. He was going to play, I think he was second row, maybe even starting prop for the Cows. He was going to get a lot of work done. He had a good finish to the year in 2020. And then he comes out and moves on to the Dragons. And I think his losing curse was almost as bad as Tom Dearden's. There you go. Tommy got one over you, Mr. Moose, last season. Lolo had an A. Jeez, who saw that coming? What a terrible year it was for him.
Thanks, Tommy.
Yep, there you go. The what have I got? Josh Mansell had an A. Yeah, that was not a great call. But anyway, that's enough about me. What terrible ones did you have? All good ones.
No, I didn't have too many good ones. I had Sean Bloor as an A because he was going to be starting on the left edge. And David Nofoluma was also an A. He, considering he was the gun center wing coming from last season, so he was absolutely a genuine must-have coming into this year, which fell completely flat. I think I had the Panthers as well. Charlie Staines was an A. Again, we've spoken about him at length. It's just been disgusting.
Yeah, I named him an A. So
there you go.
Good work, me.
So, yeah, it's just it's all over, mate. So we had plenty of misses, but we've also had plenty of hits as well. So we won't go into everything here, but we'll pull out the best ones. Who are our top four of the hits?
Exactly. We should give ourselves a pat on the back now and again. We did just say how good the Mega Guide is and then launch into how many terrible calls we had. But we did have a few ones right. The darts did strike at least a few good players, giving us all one each. So this was my 10-second, sorry, I should say the 700 international confidants. Correct. Cursory glances on the Mega Guide for this season. But the first nominee, Tommy Turbo, an A. What a great call. Player of the season, without a shadow of a doubt. Stilesy, mm-hmm. He was the man. Interesting one because Turbo was not due to start until I think round four or round five. Mm-hmm. He had the injury coming in, the hamstrings. Everyone was so worried about it. And then he steps on the field and does just godlike things. So Stilesy said, just ignore it. Who cares? It's Tommy Turbo. We know how good he is. He was, I think, 500K.
Yeah, he was cheap as chips.
Great call.
And Stilesy's just gone. Listen, you can't start with him, obviously, but as soon as he's in, bang him in your side. And he nailed it.
Absolutely did. The second nomination for the Nostradamus Award is Cody Walker. Gave him an A in the Mega Guide. Now, this was a little bit of a stab because we know how hot and cold Cody has been historically. He had a great season in 2020. He has gone places. This young stallion, up-and-comer, aged 48, he is going places in the NRL. He has got a season average of around 80.
Yeah, he's been huge this year. And I know the whole preseason debate was him or Cam Munster as your starting 5-8. And Cody's made Cam look silly for the better part of the year, just absolutely tearing teams apart.
I'll leave these last two to you, mate. Who are the third and last nominations for the Nostradamus Best Mega Guide?
Forward Connor Watson as an A. Considering he was so cheap and was looking likely as a big workload coming into this year, and it's been a bit of give and take, him starting or been off the bench, mostly off the bench, but he's been very serviceable, played nearly every game, rotating through many positions on the field, but can rotate through your super coach side in 5-8 and hooker. So I think he's basically up here because he's saved a lot of skins lately just by being on the field. And our boy Wilf, he had Ryan Madison as an A as well. In a season where second rowers have been, let's say, woeful, as a kind way of putting it. The second row has been a terrible place for Supercoach this year. But Ryan Madison wasn't fantastic, wasn't the same as he was last year, but was a mainstay. And Wilf got that one right.
Gotta love your work, Wilfred. You nailed Maddo there. Tough end to the year with all the injuries and suspensions and all that sort of stuff. But at the start of the year, he was the bit of consistency we all desperately needed. And there can only be one winner, and that is... Give your love to the mailman. It's Tommy Turbo, the A from Stylesy. Well done, Stylesy. Yep.
It's hard to go past that.
You are loving it. Absolutely not. But Tommy Turbo, what a season he's had. The big thing was, it didn't take long to turn it around, but big thing was hamstring injuries. Who can trust him? And yet here he is playing round 25.
That's right. And he's 130
average. Oh, it's just an incredible season from Tommy Turbo. Stylesy, absolutely nailed it with the call. You will be back bigger and better. Next season, a few of us could learn a thing or two. And speaking of, the final category are the talkies for 2021. Again, giving us all one each, one nomination for the Good Call Champ Worst Mega Guide Call of the Season. So these are guys we might have given A's to, might have given D's to. It all went awry, but Lakey, fire us off. Who's nomination number one?
Me, with Big Dave Clemmer. Let's say when Payne Haas was suspended to start the year, I've promoted Clemmer as taking the next step to be the premier prop in the competition. And he's ended up not even being a starter on the Knights team this year. So he's been surpassed by the Safidi twins. So David Clemmer's been a massive fail for anybody that took the gamble to start the year, or maybe you grabbed him in your draft side like I did. He's been a bomb.
Certainly has, and A, he was definitely not. Mate, this one.
This is you.
Number two, Charlie Staines. So we've talked about him. Might as well have his own segment on this bad boy next year.
We should name. We could name this whole thing after him. He's been prominent.
The big pants himself. Charlie Staines, an A at the start of the season. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, that's right.
He was, what, 300K in a Panther side that was looking like, well, and they had.
They scored for fun. And yep, say Mansour put up huge points on that left wing. Charlie Staines was just going to be running in tries for fun. And say he, 297K. He'd only played two games and killed it. So perfect. Absolute perfect cash cow.
Yep, could see nothing wrong with that. And then fast forward to the end of the season, he scores 1 point in a game. So there you go. Who could see that come? Third nomination, Ruben Garrick. This is an interesting one. Stylesy, and we just shouted him out before with Tommy Turbo, the Nostradamus of the year. Ruben Garrick, a D. Now, I can't blame him. We all say benefit of hindsight and all that sort of stuff. But it goes to show what, like in the space of a month or two in this season, what that can do to Supercoach landscapes.
Yes.
Because Ruben Garrick, a D, he was barely going to make the side.
Before this, two or something, they were talking about dropping him and bringing in some young guns. So... he started off with very strongly Stylesy, but as we all know, Garrick's now the highest point scorer, total point scorer in the Supercoach world, and he's absolutely got this wrong.
I backed him in though, Stylesy, because I haven't owned him at any point in 2021. So I backed you, Stylesy, and I still do. Ruben Garrick, still a D in my eyes, but yet you might, you're in the running for the Good Call Champ Award. And finally, Wilfred, only Supercoach winner in this illustrious list himself, but Wilfred puts his heart on his sleeve. Started the year with Anthony Milford. That was a charitable
bet. Yes, good for him.
So good on him. Sacrificed the well-being of his Supercoach side for a bit of a lull. So good on you, Wilf. But your Good Call Champ nomination for the season is Isaiah Papali'i, an E. Now, this is it's such a rough rating. An E. It's basically, please do not touch this man. Do not even trade him in. He will be terrible. He's off the bench for Parramatta. He's done nothing at the Warriors, really. Serviceable enough player. Too highly priced. Going to do nothing.
And
at
I
the
quote.
Eels. So what happened?
And I quote, especially since it would be a massive shock for Papali'i to take over an edge spot. Well, he's
there
done
you
that.
Go.
He's done that. He shocked you, Wilf. And he shocked the Supercoach world. He's come on to be the best prop, the Clemmer that I was expecting. He's been.
But where is he now, Lakey? Where is Papali'i now?
He's getting a rest before he plays finals.
There you go. He's an E. In round 25 terms, he is an E. There can only be one winner of the Good Call Champ Award, the final talk year 2021. And that's the wrong cue. There it is. The drum guy, I don't know what you're doing, but final award goes to Wilf.
Has to.
For Isaiah Papali'i. He has to. That Barry, what do you reckon?
Ridiculous.
Cletus, yep, love it. Gotta love a bit of Wilfred, though. Like, Papali'i and E. Just goes to show this guy has come from the clouds.
Didn't he? And so he wasn't even good enough that the Warriors wanted to keep him. So they turfed him to Australia, so to speak, since they were stuck in Australia anyway. But, yeah, he's been just the most improved player this season. Been huge.
Certainly has. It's a huge season from Papali'i, from the Eels. They need him fit and firing in the back end of the year to do much, but Papali'i looked their huge X factor. So, Wilfred, we will revisit that next season. But for now, you, because I named it and also the 700 Confidants did as well, you are the undisputed, the good call champ. You are the champion, but you're the champ of shit calls in the Mega Guide, but we will see you back there. Lakey, that's the first ever edition of the Talkies. How did you think it went?
Man, it was such an exciting fanfare. All the stars were out, Bazza and Cletus, they were all here, excited. We had, you know, so many people writing in and submitting votes and everything like that. So thank you to the fans out there. It's been a very successful night, I feel.
Yeah, just like the Biff, it's bringing the crowds back. We got two in attendance tonight. Normally, we're doing this podcast for you and I and our wives and girlfriends who love listening to this on a weekly basis. But, you know, it has been a fun year. I've enjoyed it. We got through, I think, 25 podcasts at least throughout the season. I did some weekend roundups when I could be bothered, when I wasn't on walkabout. Enjoyed those. We did some preseason stuff. It's been a long year behind the mic.
It has. It's been a very, very big year, starting off with the Mega Guide and all the preseason content and, you know, our usual day-to-day weekly articles and stuff that we put out there, plus the podcast. It's been a massive year at Supercoach. And for me personally, I just want to thank everybody involved with the site, and I want to thank all the people who are on there each and every day contributing in some form or another, or writing to me on Twitter and having a good chat. So it's been a massive year. I've really enjoyed it. As you know, even though my Supercoach season has gone down the toilet, I've really enjoyed this year, and I'm looking forward to a few weeks off before getting stuck into it again for season 2022.
You're a glutton for punishment, mate. You're on NFL, you're on EPL. Well, you're not on EPL, I am, but you're on about 78 NFL ones from what I can gather. So, yeah, you've got a very busy pre-season ahead of you. For me, yeah, I'm just looking forward to the season being over.
Cowboys season was over at halfway through the year, though, wasn't it?
Mate, with that basically halfway through you and I and Wilfred and Stilesy at the Norman in Brisbane, watching the halftime or watching the game. Didn't get much better. Should have known the season was pretty much over from that point on. I don't know why you didn't tell me. It would have saved me 25 weeks of pain, but nonetheless, we're here. One more round to go. Supercoach has been fun. Good luck to everyone all still out there in the running. I know there's been a runaway leader, I'm pretty sure, for a large part of the season. I'm sure he will be having sleepless nights. That's the Villi Army. He has got a 404-point lead. So it is a shit round. So you just never know, hey? If you've got Makahazy Makatoa in your side, you could get 17 tries, as I've called it.
Are you planning on taking over top spot from here with Makatoa?
Can you imagine the first ever 2,000-point Supercoach game? We might have to do a special edition podcast just for that one. But for now, this has been Round 25 SC Report. This has been the Talkies. This has been Lakey and JT signing off for 2021. Final word from you, champion.
It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. It's been a fun year. Thank you.
And one guess, what song is going to play on our way out? Oh,
I don't even need to guess. I take back everything I said about it being a fun year.
As if I was going to play that one. Yeehaw, and see you in 2022, everyone. Give your love to a cowboy man. Your raging life at the apple.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.